Today's service, what we want to, you know, the whole idea is just to get to know one another, connect. But because it's Resurrection Sunday, right? I want to share a little bit on what the Lord has placed upon my heart as to what He wants us to just grapple with on Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday is a reminder that Jesus Christ rose again. Okay, and there's a lot of things to talk about in terms of His death and His resurrection. And there are many implications to us. But today I want us to think about three or four things that has to do with us as a church, which I believe the Lord is challenging us as a church. Okay? I'd like to turn to John chapter 20. Okay, so if you have your Bible, you can turn to that. If you have your handphone, you can turn to that, as long as you don't get distracted by the WhatsApp that comes in. Okay, John chapter 20. And this is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, just to lay a little bit of background, Jesus died. Okay, He was crucified. He died. They buried Him. And 3 days later, okay, He rose again. Okay, He's, you know, the women went to the tomb. The body was not there. But what happened is that He appeared to other people. Okay, now some people say, hey, what happened? The disciples might have stole the body away, okay? But, I mean, if you steal the body disappears, you know? And that's one thing that happened. But the other thing that happened is that He showed Himself to different people, to His disciples. So we know for sure that He did not just die. The disciples didn't steal His body, but God raised Him from the dead. And this is what happened, and I want to read John chapter 20, verse 19. Okay? Before that, we see the story of the women going to the tomb and the body disappear. Alright? But then, it says in verse 19, then the same day, that evening, being the first day of the week, okay, so when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Now you understand the story, yeah? The disciples were afraid because, you know, all the Jews were after the disciples. They possibly were thinking, hey, wait a minute, this guy stole the body, we better, you know, catch them and, you know, interrogate them and do something with them. And they were all assembled, and the Bible tells us that the doors were shut, okay? So, they were afraid, they locked themselves inside a room. And what happened, the next thing the Bible tells us, is that Jesus came and stood in their midst. So, suddenly Jesus appeared, while the doors were all still locked, alright? He came, stood in their midst, and said to them, peace be with you. And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Now, why did Jesus show them His hands and His side? Because He has just been crucified 3 days ago. So, they put nails into Him, hung Him on the cross. They pierced a spear in His side. So, He came and showed them His hands. He showed them His side to identify that, hey, this is really me. Okay, I'm the one that was crucified. Now, I'm appearing before you and I'm walking in your midst, right? And then He said to them, peace. So Jesus said to them again, okay? Second time, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when He had said it, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So He came and said, you know, be at peace. And then He said, I'm sending you. all right, received the Holy Spirit. So you see that when Jesus came and he appeared to them again after his death, he said two things, all right? Actually, three things. Here in this passage, one, he said, chill, in our terms. Okay, relax. Don't be so anxious. Let the peace of God come upon you. Peace. And he said that twice, you know. Peace be upon you. Right? Many times in our life, we are anxious about many things. We are worried about many things. We are fearful, maybe like the disciples, of many things. And I don't know whether you are in this season. All of us go through different seasons. Seasons of anxiousness, fear. Maybe some of you, you know, final exam coming. Anxious, God, a bit, maybe some of you looking for a new job, God, anxious, Maybe some of you, you know, going through a new phase in your life, a bit anxious, Certain changes happening, Okay? Change new job, I don't know, Anxious, God comes and says, hey, peace, Maybe some of us, we are going through a new season. Okay, for the disciples, it was a new season because certain things have changed. The disciples were with them for at least 3.5 years. Right? And now, Jesus had gone. Things have changed. Alright? Our life changed. And we go through different seasons. Alright? Are you with me? Alright? And Jesus comes and says, hey, chill. Let the peace of God come. He wants to impart peace on us. And then, for those of us who are disciples, and most of us have been in church for a long time, and we profess that, yeah, you know, we want to follow Jesus. Jesus comes and says, I'm sending you again. So, the first thing I believe that God wants us to do as a church, as members of the church, is to realize that we need not be anxious, about whatever situation that we are in, because God has placed us there and He's commissioning us. He says, just as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Be at peace. Alright? Be at peace with whatever situation we are in, because God has placed us there and He's sending us. And not only is He saying, yeah, go. You know, you're on your own, you know. He doesn't say that, you know. He breathed His Spirit upon us. Okay? God's Spirit is upon us, and He's saying, I'm sending my Spirit with you. Okay? Be at peace. Alright? So, the first thing that we realize that happened when Jesus rose again is this. The second thing is this. Now, we read on. Now, Thomas, called the twin of the 12, was not with them. So, when Jesus appeared to the disciples, Thomas was not with them. Alright? The other disciples therefore said to him, hey, we've seen the Lord. You know, Jesus has risen from the dead. We've seen Him. But he said to them, unless I see His hands, the prints of the nails, put my finger into the nails, put my hand into His side, I will not believe. He said. Okay? And after 8 days, His disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors began to the doors being shut, okay, once again, the doors were all shut, stood in their midst, and said again, peace to you, he said. And then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here, and look at my hands, reach your hand here, and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet they believe. Okay, so it's very interesting. The first time Jesus appears, the disciples were there, Thomas was not there. And then all the disciples, they were very excited because Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. And Thomas says, no, I won't believe. Unless I see, not only see, not enough, you know. Okay, I must touch. Okay, now a lot of us say this, unless I see, I won't believe, right? You've seen that some point in our life, I mean, I've said that, you know, people, friends come and say, hey, you know, this happened. And I say, no, not true, unless I see, I won't believe, okay? Thomas, even more drastic, he says, I must see and I must touch, okay? I see not enough. I must touch. I must put my finger into his nail prints. I must put my hand into his side, you know. Can you imagine that? All right? Okay, Jesus is just, you know, he's just been crucified, right? So he's got scars on his hands. He's got a wound on his side. And he says, you know, I need to touch. You know, you see, I need to poke into his wound, and then I will believe. You know? So Thomas was one that, you know, didn't believe at all. But then, 8 days later, okay, 1 week later, Jesus appears to all of them in the same condition. They were all in the room, the doors were locked, he comes again, and he zoomed in on Thomas straight away. You know, he come in and say, Thomas, all right, nah. Because Jesus already knew, he is God, he already knew what Thomas was thinking. And he says, Jesus comes to Thomas and says, nah, here, put your finger there, touch my nail prints, right? Touch my side. And immediately, Thomas said this, you know, my Lord and my God, okay? Thomas, at that point of time, he's convicted already. He didn't need to say, okay, let me examine first, you know, touch first and see how, you know. He was immediately convicted and said, my Lord and my God. Now, that is very interesting that Thomas said that it was a declaration that now, Jesus, you are the King of my life. Okay? You are the King of my life. The second thing, the first thing is the commission. God sends us. He says, and he sends us with a few things, you know. He says, be at peace. You're good where you are. I'm sending the Holy Spirit with you. Go. Right? The second thing that Jesus does to his disciples is this, you know. He gives them faith. He gives them faith. Why? Because Thomas was unbelieving. He didn't believe. And he says, hey, look, see. And then he says, you are blessed because you see and believe. Blessed are those who don't see and yet they believe. In other words, for those of us here, I mean, none of us have seen the nail prints on Jesus' hand. Right? None of us have, you know, put our finger there and, you know, done that. But Jesus said this, you are more blessed. Why? Because even though you don't see, you believe. And what God wants to do in this Resurrection Sunday is to remind us that while we are here, He wants to continue to instill faith in us. He wants to say that, hey, you know, all you need to do is believe. Have faith. Because He really is risen. And we pause for a moment and ask ourselves, hey, where's our faith level right now? You know, are there certain things where we say, unless I see, I don't believe, you know. You know, sometimes we say this, okay? And perhaps we are all guilty, you know, guilty. You know, we say this, God, unless you do this, I won't believe. You know, God, unless certain things happen, I won't believe. Alright? But Jesus comes to us today and says, you know, you are blessed when you choose to believe. When you choose to say, even though the circumstances is such, I choose to believe. And He wants to instill greater faith in us. And then the next story goes, okay, in chapter 21. Chapter 21 is very interesting because His disciples then decided, you know, that, hey, right now, I want to go fishing already. You know, we are here at the sea, you know, let's go fishing. And majority of the disciples were fishermen. You've heard me preach on this passage before. Right? And so we won't read it. But I just want to highlight a couple of things. So they go out fishing, they catch nothing. Right? Verse 6 says, cast your net on the right side. So they did. Alright? And they drew out, the Bible tells, a multitude of fish. And Peter, who recognizes the Lord, you know, begin to, you know, jump down and, you know, greet the Lord. And it tells us in verse 11, okay, Peter went up, he went back to the boat, he dragged up the net to land. They couldn't haul the fish up onto the boat because there are too many fish. Okay, they had to literally drag the net, which is still in the water, onto the shore because the net was so filled with fish. Now, they have been fishing the whole night, they caught nothing. Okay, when I was in Australia, I got a chance to go fishing in the river. We were there, we weren't there the whole night. We were there for how many hours? 3 hours. Okay, about there. We caught, I didn't catch anything. Penny caught 2 torsat throwback. Chiwen caught 1 shark, baby shark throwback. Okay. Nothing, I mean, we were expecting to catch, you know, 20 kg fish, you know. But we caught nothing. Okay. Nothing that was worthwhile, throwback. Then in the end, we said, okay, go back. The bait also all mati already. We caught live bait. We caught, you know, live bait so that, you know, we can use that to catch fish. So after a while, the bait also, like that already. And we decided, okay, let's go home, catch nothing. Okay. So actually, while going back that time, I was thinking whether got, you know, some person there will say, cast your rods on the right side, see whether got catch any fish or not. But nobody, in the middle of the night already, okay? What is that? Yeah, didn't catch anything. So we went back, caught nothing. And this was, I imagine the scenario of the disciples, you know, catch nothing, quite miserable. I was hoping, you know, we would, you know, carry back a big fish. This also happened to them. They're tired, spent the whole night, and it's early morning. And Jesus was walking on the shore and said, you know, cast your nets on the right side, right? So they threw their net. They caught so much fish that they cannot pull out on the boat, no. They had to drag the thing in. And the Bible tells us, okay, it was the net, verse 11, some people went out, dragged the net to land full of large fish. Okay, when I was there with the friend, he showed us pictures of all the fish that he caught. Okay, so, you know, at least 3 hands have to carry one. Some, you know, 2 hands have to carry the fish. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. Okay, this size fish. So I was anticipating, you know, catching this size fish. Not the, you know, not the kampung hu. So I was anticipating that. All right. And when I went back, I read this, my imagination went, you know, it was full of large fish, 153. The first few times I read this, I thought 153 fish, the disciples, 12 of them, you know, should be able to pull up the boat, right? 150, how heavy is 150? But then you read again, it says it was full of large fish, you know, how large the Bible doesn't tell us. 153 large fish that they cannot pull up. Okay, the catch of their life, possibly, right? And then Jesus said, come, you know, have breakfast with me. And then Jesus asked him, do you love me more than fishing? Do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than, you know, everything that you have done in the past of your, you know, all your life? And Jesus says, Peter says, yes, I do. All right? And Jesus says, okay, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Right? The thing that I want to highlight here, the third thing that Jesus did to his disciples is he continued to show them miracles. While he was living on earth for his 3.5 years, when he ran around, the Bible tells us he healed many people, you know, he did many miracles. And he comes back, he's resurrected, he comes to his disciples, not only does he teach them, talk to them, but he shows them miracles. He continues to do miracles in their life. Things that when you're discouraged, when you go out fishing and you catch nothing, Jesus comes and says, 153 large fish, you cannot even pull up. It's beyond you. He wants to do miracles that are beyond us. And today, as we think about, you know, Jesus who raised up from the dead, he's commissioning us, you know, he's instilling faith in us once again. And he's also saying, I want to do miracles in your life. miracles that are beyond you, miracles that sometimes you cannot imagine. You know, and when you're tired, you feel that nothing is happening, that's when he wants to do a miracle, because that's when we rely on him most. Right? And we need to walk away from this Sunday, realizing that, you know, it's not just, you know, believing in him, but he wants to do so much more. He wants to do miracles in our life. And then Jesus talks to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me more than this? Alright? And we see in verse 19, John chapter 21, we see in verse 19, he says, he said this, alright? Alright, he says, feed my sheep, verse 17, right? And then he said, he spoke to him about his death. And then after that, at the end of it, he said to Peter, follow me. All right, he said to Peter, follow me. Then Peter turned to the other disciple, right? And said, what about him? Okay. And in verse 22, Jesus said to him, if I will that he remains till I come, what is it to you? You follow me. Second time he told him in the same passage, follow me. Alright? This was a reminder of when Jesus first called the disciples. They were fishing, they were washing their nets. Jesus comes along by the sea and says, come, follow me. You know, I will make you fishers of men. Okay? And so, he commissions him again, restores him, and he commissions him and says, hey, this is what I want you to do. Follow me. You know? So, this Resurrection Sunday, okay? Today, I'd like us to think about a couple of things in our life. You know, many times we focus on the cross, we focus on the empty tomb. Today, I'd like us to focus on Jesus, who is alive and lives amongst us, because he sent his spirit to dwell among us. And he does a couple of things. Whatever situation we are in, I want to, you know, re-emphasize again, whatever situation that we are in, he comes and says, peace be with you. Relax. Why? Because he's sending us, he's put his spirit in us. Whatever situation that we are in, Jesus comes to us and says, have faith. Every time you doubt, Jesus says, believe. Even though you don't see, believe. And then Jesus says, I want to continue to do miracles in your life. I want to make you see things that be beyond yourself. And this is what you need to do. Follow me. Alright? So I want us to end. I want to end knowing, giving us a picture of knowing that this is what Jesus has done and he will continue to do. But on our end, what we need to do is to say, I will follow you. Because following Jesus is a choice. You know, faith is a choice to say, I want to believe. You know, even though I don't see, I want to believe. It's a choice. And so the choice is left to us. Jesus will do his part as he promised. But for us, we need to say, I choose to follow you. I choose to want to walk in your ways. I choose to want to experience all that you have set aside for me to experience. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. As we bow our heads, I'd just like us to think for a moment and ask ourselves, what situation am I in right now? Okay? Am I going through a tough time? If we are, then God is saying, be at peace. Okay? His peace comes upon us. Perhaps there are some of us here, you know, we have lost faith a little bit. And God is saying then, you know, here, look, have faith, believe, because he wants to show us great things. He wants to show us miracles. And maybe we are looking for a miracle right now because things are tough. Don't give up. Because Jesus comes alongside and says that today I want to do something great. And I want to believe that God wants to do something great in our lives. All we need to do is to say, yes, I will follow him. So can we pray a prayer and say, Jesus, I want to follow you? Some of us have, you know, we have gone far, maybe spiritually. We have come to the Lord, you know, we know him, but we have neglected him. We have left him to our convenience. You know, when it's a tough time, we say, Jesus, we need you. I will follow you. When nothing bad happens to us, you know, we say, never mind. And maybe there are some of us here who needs to come to the Lord again and say, I will follow you. I choose to follow you. When circumstances seem okay, maybe we need to come before him. Let's pray that prayer to the Lord again and ask God to challenge our hearts and to make a commitment to the Lord once again and say, yes, I will follow you. Just you and the Lord right now. I want to pray a prayer of dedication to the Lord, a rededication maybe for some of us. And if this is you, I just want you to, you know, just pray this prayer in your heart, just believing that God would come and restore faith in our lives. Father God, I come before you empty so that you can fill me up, empty so that you can fill me with the empowerment of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to stop for a moment. I just sense the Lord wanting us to do this. I sense the Lord saying, you know, there are some of us here, you need to exercise a little bit more faith. Okay, so I want us to pray. I want all of us to repeat after me. Okay? Even if you are not in this situation, then you encourage the next person. Alright? And if you are in this situation, then I want you to exercise faith by just speaking it out so that you can hear it. Okay? Can we do that? Can we do that, church? Dear Father, I come before you empty. Empty so that you can fill me. So that you can empower me. So that you can fill me once again with your Holy Spirit. Circumstances have caused me to go astray. But today I want to come before you and make myself right before you. Father, I thank you for your peace. I thank you for your assurance. I thank you for the fact that you love me and call me. Father, I want to believe. I want to continue to have faith in you. Help me in times of unbelief. I thank you that you want to do miracles in my life. I thank you that you have chosen me to do great things. And so, Father, today, I declare that I choose to follow you. Let faith arise in my heart. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your restoration.
I thank you for your call upon my life.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, I pray for each and every one of us here. I ask, O God, that your blessing, your presence will be so real in our lives. And Lord, that the reality of Jesus would come and just convict our hearts in a greater manner. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for your blessing. And we pray for today, we pray, Lord, that even as we mingle among ourselves, as we fellowship, Lord, that there will be excitement, Lord, that not only will we get to know one another, but we will experience you in our conversations. We thank you. Bless each and every person here with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.